Right. Oh, good morning, people who I didn't see when I first came up here. Right. It's going to be an interesting one this morning. Some of you might have heard bits of it from last week, but I won't go into it. Right. I don't know how many of you know me quite well, right, but I'm very interested in flying and flight. As a child, I used to like make up Airfix models, painting them, sticking them together and get them just right, had the nylon thread hang down from the ceiling to make them look like they were flying. My last job before leaving South London was working at Gatwick Airport. I did actually work in a duty-free shop where I was responsible for selling alcohol. But I also loved going on my breaks and watching the aircraft taking off and landing. Because Gatwick Airport was a large... Can you hear me, Dennis?
Carry on.
Okay. Because Gatwick Airport is the largest single runway airport in Europe, and it was just always nice and seemed busy. Even to this day, I've still got on my phone an app so I can do flight radar and check to see where flights are in almost real time. I've also read many, many books on flights and flying. I've read the biography of Charles Lindbergh, which I think Sean might know about because I once gave a talk on it. And Charles Lindbergh was the first man to fly across the Atlantic. I've read about French aviators, German aviators, like Manfred von Richthofen, the Red Baron, and his brother. I've also been reading a book on flight, which is my current book, which I'm reading, about the Wright brothers, who were the first guys to actually fly in the world. Well, one of them was, anyway. I also like watching films on flight and flying. My favourite film is called The Wright Stuff. I don't know if any of you have heard of that film, The Wright Stuff. But The Wright Stuff, it chronicles the American test pilots from the time when the speed of sound was broken right through to becoming the first astronauts. These test pilots went through vigorous tests to see if they were suitable, and once they were graduated to become astronauts, were called The Wright Stuff. Anyway, I'm sure you don't want to hear me talking about planes and flying today, but what I do want to talk to you about is saying, are we made of the right stuff? Are we prepared to go through the vigorous tests we will come across in our lives? Are we prepared to listen and learn from our great tutor, God? I just want to look through a few things which I feel sum up some of what the right stuff is. There's so much in the Bible which can show us what the right stuff is, but just a few things that I've seen. So if we can all maybe turn to Matthew chapter 4 from verse 18. Hopefully it will come over in a minute. Thank you, Steve. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for a fisherman. "Come follow me," Jesus said, "and I'll send you out to fish for people." At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them. And immediately they left their boat and their father and followed him. This first one, the reason why I'm looking at this is because this demonstrates they were fully available. They didn't think twice, they just got on with it. And it's two clear examples of people who actually just got on with following what God had to say to them and what Jesus had to say to them. In the verse before, in verse 17, which I haven't put up, it's headed up about, but Jesus preached a lot about, repent for the kingdom of heaven has come near. We don't know how they reacted to it. We don't know whether they heard about it, but they still reacted and listened to what God was saying. We are in 2018 at the moment. Okay, we have the benefit of seeing all that Jesus achieved with his life, his death, and subsequent resurrection. These men didn't. They stepped out on a limb and followed him. It's sometimes so easy to forget that everything we read about in the Gospels was new, fresh. We can learn from them. They didn't have anyone to learn from apart from what Jesus and God were saying to them. Okay? I'd like to challenge each and every one of us to respond promptly to what God is calling us, both individually and, if necessary, corporately. The next one to look at is in Matthew chapter 5, from verse 13. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt loses its saltiness, How can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, for then they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. I've been a Christian for quite a few years, shall we say. I've heard so many messages from this passage, where they say about the good qualities of salt, how salt goes bad, what it can be used for, even a history of salt in New Testament times. I'm not going to go into that. I just want to look at particularly at verse 14, okay, where it says, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden." The word "you" is the first word, meaning each and every one of us. Not just as a group, but us, you, every one of you, and as I myself. But we're told we are the light of the world. We shouldn't doubt that we're the light of the world. God wants us to be the light in the world. He wants us to shine on his behalf. At work, I'm a safety officer, okay, works at Town Football Club. Always, 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 here's a little prop, I have this with me. It's a torch. And it works. Simple thing, okay? But I might need it. I might not. Most days I don't. But some days I do. To give you an example, we had a match the other night and all of a sudden one of the floodlight pylons went out. And the referee called me over and said, "We can't carry on playing because there's no light." I had to go to the control box. I managed to sort it out. But if I didn't have this, I couldn't be the light in the situation and get the light going onto a pitch. But you see, what we've got to remember is light, it gets rid of darkness. So we can get rid of darkness in our own lives as well as other people's just by being that light. Okay? Yeah. It's great being full of light in church, but we've got to be out there where everyone else is. Because, well, we can see here, I don't know how many of us there are here this morning, but I think the Worksop Half Marathon's going on today. And I know when I walked in, there are far more people in town. So there's far more people interested in doing a half marathon than coming into church and realising things, okay? So we've really got to be that light to people. The light we've got to show has got to be a general light, not a floodlight or spotlight. Because we weren't there to blind people with what God does. Leave that to God. People will see God in us, shining through us. But we've just got to have that confidence that we can do that. Another step in trying to be the right stuff. The next one to look at, I want to look at is Matthew chapter 6 from verse 1. I'll put that down. "Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you'll have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to a needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honoured by others. Truly I tell you, they have received the reward in full. But when you give to a needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be done in secret. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." It's a bit of a thing to get around because, I mean, it's so easy to know what you're doing left and right hand, but that's beside the point for a minute. Especially in verse 2, when it says, "So when you give to a needy, do not announce it with trumpets." We don't need to go running around shouting our mouth off about things. We don't need to come running into church and say, "Guess what I did today? Guess what I did yesterday?" Yeah, okay, we can testify, but we've got to let God do his work through us, okay? Because soon we'll all be wanting to talk like anything about things that God has done with us and with other people. Also, it's not just a thing, a lot of people think that's just talking about finance. But it's not talking about finance. It's sometimes going to be talking about lack of finance. Because sometimes we can bless people so much more by our time, rather than actually saying, oh, let me buy you a meal, let me buy you a coffee. Just actually spending time, 2 minutes even, with someone. We need to examine ourselves and forensically check our motives. And I use the word forensically deliberately, because forensic means pay close attention to the detail of what you're doing. Don't just think, oh yeah, okay. Examine yourselves. Right, in verse 1, it says, be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others, to be seen by them. If you do, you'll have no reward from your Father in heaven. But then, in the Amplified, it says something slightly different. Okay, take care not to do your good deeds in publicly or before men, in order to be seen by them. Otherwise, you will have no reward reserved for and awaiting you, and from your Father who is in heaven. I did slightly emphasise reserved for and awaiting you, because it is reserved for and awaiting us. There's no question of it. But this no way abdicates us from our responsibility to both God and those people he's put us amongst. We can't just only think, oh well, God will do it. We've got to do our part as well. This is not easy always, because we've got to reach people at their point of need, not what our point of need is. And that's where the difficulty starts, and that's where we can start talking to God about where we need help with it. We should not worry about what we see as them having double standards. We should concentrate on our own standards and motives. Because sometimes we can be so quick to point out or look and think, oh, yeah, that person, they've got this problem, they've got that problem. But we've got our own problems as well. Next one I want to look at is Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. Okay, I'll just do the first bit. Okay, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life. The other week, on the 14th of October, Florence shared with us about worry and anxiety. I'm not going to go back over it, because some of what Florence had to say was similar to what I would like wanted to say today. But I encourage you, if you haven't heard it, listen. Okay? And also I want to say that this thing about not worrying about our own life, we can often think it's so much easier said than done. But I want to challenge all of you, and myself, to realise that it's the reverse. It's easier done than said. I know you know, you see where I'm coming from. We should just get on with it. And then it becomes a said thing. Because what can happen is, if we keep on giving ourselves negative thoughts about anything, we're going, oh no, I can never do that, I can never do this. Say like a driving test. Oh, I'll never be able to drive a car. But if we just get on with it, before we know it, it becomes second nature. What we've got to remember is, God has equipped each and every one of us to do his work. He's trained us all. We're not doing it on our own. We're doing it with God's help and guidance. We're doing it with each other's help if we talk to other people about it. We're doing it with and through God. Above all else, we're chosen by him. God won't waste his time choosing us to do things. He knows we can do them. Simple as that. At the beginning I said, are we made of the right stuff? Are we prepared to go through the rigorous tests that we come across in our lives? Are we prepared to listen and learn from our tutor God? I want to put it to everyone, including myself, that unequivocally, yes, we are made of the right stuff. God has given us that strength to be able to do it. And the last verse I want to quote is Ephesians 2, verse 10, where it says, for God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So we don't need to work. That's our safety net. God is there for us. He is helping us be part of the right stuff. Just want to leave it a couple of minutes and we have a silent prayer. Just think about this, okay? Because it's not a thing which we can rush into if we're not sure, okay? So if we just pause for a couple of minutes, if you don't mind.